May I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you heard the story of Bartimaeus getting healed of his blindness, did you maybe wonder how often was Jesus healing people of blindness? There are several stories. In fact, so many of them that I found myself drawn into, okay, what was that scene like? And do we take it literally? Are we, when we talk about blindness, do we say, okay, the church heals people who are blind? You know, we're like a partner arm to the CNIB. And I realized going into that mode that probably the church has, from the beginning, understood blindness as in a metaphorical way, in a spiritual way, rather than in a physical way, regardless of the story itself. But let's consider the story. Bartimaeus asks to see, and immediately he is able to see. If I could go back into the metaphor, maybe when we desire to have spiritual understanding, the fact that we desire it helps our progress in having it. But if we consider the other stories of blindness, just two chapters before Mark 10, which we read, there's another healing of a blind man. And in this case, the man does not ask to be healed. Other people bring the man to Jesus, and so without asking his consent, he spits on his fingers and rubs them in the man's eyes. And the man says, well, I think I see trees, or is it people? So Jesus rubs his eyes with the spit again, and the man sees. There's another story in John chapter 9 about a man born blind, and it feels like it's almost the same story. There's a man who is there, and the disciples say, who sinned that this man is born blind? Did he sin, or was it his parents who sinned? And the man does not ask to be healed, but Jesus does that. And what he does is he spits in the sand and makes a mud and rubs it on his eyes. And it's the same kind of story. You might think it's almost the same story because he sort of sees, and then Jesus rubs his eyes with the mud again and he fully sees. And if we could go into the metaphor, the spiritual metaphor again, maybe it is the case that even when we're not trying to understand, we progressively come to a greater understanding. It's a process. It's like you get the mud rubbed on your eyes a few times, and then you start to notice that, you know, I need to look in a different way. And I think that over the course of the centuries, we probably used those stories in that way, to speak about our own ability to comprehend, and not just comprehend. In the case of Bartimaeus, he then followed Jesus. When we use it as a metaphor, we're meaning conversion. Going from an understanding that is less clear to a clearer one helps us to follow the way Jesus has for us more closely. And so it's not just an isolated, oh, now you can see, you can go about your business. It's a seeing for something that these stories portray. When we talk about our personal journeys, maybe you've had one or the other. Maybe you've had a desire to understand. Some things have happened to you and you want to understand and come to a clearer sense of your path. If we go with Bartimaeus, it would be that your desire to understand helps you to make some progress more easily. And then there are those things that happen to us without us consenting to them. Could be tragedies or circumstances beyond our control. And we find that the circumstances push us to think about things we haven't really wanted to think about. And I could give you the kinds of examples that maybe would work for you. a career change that you didn't really want. Someone gets laid off or doesn't get a promotion or realizes they're just profoundly unhappy doing the work they're doing. And it's a kind of blindness coming to seeing of, what am I going to do with this? If I could think of, I was thinking of one for myself. I've been living as a 50-year-old, 8-year-old, thinking that I'm 38. And this is a journey common to lots of people, right? That you feel younger than the years have gone by. And I came to this dawning realization of, oh, where did those years go? We went on a church hike yesterday, and it was a beautiful day. I would say, though, that my 58-year-old legs did a little less than my 38-year-old legs would have done. And I don't think about it, and then you catch yourself sometimes. And for those of you who are 80 feeling like you're 60, I think there's a phrase for that. 80 is the new 60. Is that what you are? There's this dawning realization. So this is using the language of blindness. And there's another way that this has come up. The Anglican Diocese of Ottawa has now mandated anti-racism training for all of the clergy. And I fully support that. We've had really difficult couple of years with violence that has brought Black Lives Matter into our consciousness as a church. It's brought the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation into our consciousness as a church. And you can see in lots of little things that we're paying attention to both of these in ways we had not done before. We have a book study in our church as well, and it is this book, White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. This is a white woman author, Robin DiAngelo, and she is speaking as a white person who is oblivious to the fact that she is white because she's part of the majority. In the diocese anti-racism session, we were each asked from a list of characteristics to pick the ones that we felt most strongly helped us with our identity at this point in our lives, have been most formative to us. I chose age, which I just mentioned. I chose sexual orientation. And then in our small group, someone said to me, why didn't you choose male? This is a woman who said this. Why didn't you choose male? Why didn't you choose white? And it's kind of like I live in this world of white people get a free pass on everything, and I don't even notice that I'm white. But that's not how the world is. So in this book, Robin DiAngelo uses a metaphor of a bird cage. A bird is in a cage, it can't get out. And from a distance, you see the rungs of that cage. You can see that that bird can't escape. But if you're too close to it, like if you put your eyes right up to the bird cage, you don't see the rungs, you just see the bird. And so you think, well, that bird can fly off, it's free. But it can't. And the idea in this metaphorical language of the birdcage is that we are too close to some things to understand their impact on people who are deeply affected. Black Lives Matter is exactly about that. The National Day of Truth and Reconciliation is exactly about that. And so as we read this book, it's actually intended for anyone who wants to read alongside us or read it on your own. We are preparing ourselves to see in places we hadn't noticed we were blind. Now, the author explains that as a white woman, she's not the only voice who should be talking about what the experience of racism is, but that as a white woman, it is her duty to call out other people who have been as oblivious or blind as she has been. And so I felt myself called out by that to pay attention to how race works in Ottawa, in Canada, in the church. And I invite you to pay attention to that as well. I think the Times and the news, you could easily shut it off, but I would urge you not to do that. That it is how we will be in solidarity with each other. It's the idea behind Bartimaeus saying, I want to see, seeing more quickly, and then following Jesus in the way. It's a conversion story of coming closer to following the way that Jesus would have. And as we tell ourselves what that way is in the Eucharist every Sunday, it is a way of justice. It is a way of inclusion. It is a way of standing with those that our society would marginalize. There are many who are in other faith traditions and in no faith tradition who already know that. It is not about which creed you follow. We need to stand with them because the values are the ones Jesus is naming. And so we are part of a bigger movement for justice in these times that is like Bartimaeus saying, I want to see, and then more truly following. As you know, there's another service this afternoon. It's the official hello after I've been here 9 months. Some of you may be coming back for that. Some of you are actually not here because you're coming to that. It's a lot of church in one day. I have to say, it's a very interesting experience to be having 9 months of hello. What I've learned in the 9 months is you're already well on the way about justice. You care about it, you talk about it, you go out and you participate in movements with other people of any religion and no religion. You're already on the way with justice and with the opening of your eyes to follow Jesus more truly. I am so glad to be here to do that with you. Thank you. Amen.